This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Europe needs to wake up on green subsidies, warns one of the continent's biggest car makers. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for being with us. President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, with its $400 billion of subsidies and tax breaks for clean energy, continues to reverberate around the world. It's turned the heads of bosses who are now pondering a move to the US or asking their own governments if they can match what's on offer. Jim Rowan is the boss of the Swedish car firm Volvo. His firm have already pledged to be fully electric by 2030. So what impact is the act having on that plan?
What that will do, on the real positive side of that, it will, I think, help drive investment towards EV infrastructure. And by that, I really mean fast charging. And that can only be a good thing for the EV industry in general and for the planet at large, because it's going to help drive full battery electric vehicle adoption. The other part of that, which is the subsidies and driving technology into the US, so battery technology, minerals that are required for battery technology and ultimately manufacturing itself, that's going to take obviously a little bit longer until that plays out.
Can the pace of that particular change keep pace with your ambitions, though, Jim? Because that's been one of the big questions, hasn't it, about this bill, that actually where the US is right now in terms of both of those things, battery manufacturing plants themselves, but also sourcing the raw materials to go into those, which are both key parts of this US legislation, whether the US is actually ready for that at the same pace that you guys making the vehicles would be.
I think it will be staged, quite honestly. I think what you'll see is you'll see the final vehicle being assembled, final assembly. Then you'll see the battery packs being assembled into the packs that are then assembled into the vehicle. And then you will see the actual minerals themselves being mined and processed to be put into the packs, to be put into the vehicle. And that will happen, I think, in a staged process. Only when you do all of that, or you can have access to all of that supply chain, will you then get the maximum benefits from a subsidy point of view. So you'll start to see those subsidies get larger once you can take more and more of those parts of the supply chain in North America or in the USMCA region.
From what you're saying there, it does sound like the conditions, and others have obviously said this, much more conducive right now in terms of doing some of the work that you're doing to do it in the US rather than Europe. What conversations are you as a company having at a European government level about your future investment decisions around what are clearly like massive investments?
I think the European Union needs to step up and say, okay, this is how we're going to encourage people, the incumbent companies that are already in Europe, the European companies that have already got this technology and want to invest further and deeper into this technology, how do we encourage them to stay and make those investments in Europe? And how do we then also in the European Union attract more inward investment from companies that are outside the EU and make it an attractive place, as the US have done with the Inflation Reduction Act? How do we make that then an interesting and worthwhile place to invest in the European Union? And I don't think it's all subsidy driven. I think there's got to be policy in that as well. And I think there's also got to be academia and research. Otherwise, the problem with this will be if you wait too long, then that drain of investment and that drain of research and development will go quickly, and then you'll be playing catch up. So I do think the European Union really need to think about this quickly. They need to act quickly, and they need to act decisively.
Because I'm fascinated about that part one you raised there, Jim. I've spoken to a company that I know you work with closely, Northvolt, a Swedish, probably Europe's most advanced player in this area too, saying, echoing pretty much your sentiments, you know, we would love to stay where we are. We think we've got good networks where we are. But if the US is going to not only make the environment easier for us to work in terms of tax, regulations, breaks, but also pump lots of money into that innovation and bringing us all the workers that we need, all the kind of people who are going to continue working for us, then unfortunately it's going to become a no-brainer of a decision.
Yeah, and first of all, you've got the willingness for European Union to step up and actually make those policy decisions, and then you've got to get it through. I mean, you've got to get rid of the bureaucracy, because this is time bound, and this is quite tightly time bound, in order to make sure that people who are just about to make these decisions, these big investment decisions that will be made now and further invested in over the next decade, if you don't get to them now and you lose them because we haven't acted quick enough or bureaucracy has got in the way of Europe, then it will be another decade before you have a chance to get that technology back.
That's Jim Rowan, the CEO of Volvo Cars there. Well, the EU is working on what it calls a Green Deal industrial plan. I'm sure more details of that in a future episode. Let's check in on the numbers now. Yeah, earnings season not giving much encouragement to Europe's big exchanges this morning. Shares in London, Frankfurt, Paris all down around 0.5% right now. In a bit of companies news, Heathrow Airport in London reporting it's still loss-making, even as it continues to be Europe's busiest airport. The airport said it had not returned to profit after the coronavirus pandemic and reported an adjusted pre-tax loss of $173 million for the first quarter of this year, despite welcoming almost 17 million passengers in that time. British American Tobacco has agreed to pay a $635 million penalty to US authorities after a subsidiary pleaded guilty to charges that it violated US sanctions in North Korea. The BBC's Samira Hussein has more.
The U.S. Justice Department basically said it was engaged in this elaborate scheme to sell tobacco products to North Korea. They were using a third-party company based in Singapore to get the cigarettes into North Korea. But in addition to violating U.S. sanctions by doing business with North Korea, in addition, they also committed bank fraud because they needed to process those financial payments from North Korean entities. You look at how much money they were actually making in North Korea. For every dollar they spent in the country, they were making something like $20 in profit.
The BBC's Samir Hussein. Let's hop on our bikes now and head to Portugal, which has become the somewhat unlikely European capital for bicycle manufacturing. The shift has been dramatic too, with global exports from the country up 49% in 2022 at over $610 million. Louisa Lewis has been taking a look at why.
I'm in a little town called Águeda in northern Portugal. This place is also the centre of what's called Portugal's Bike Valley. The valley is home to about 60 companies employing roughly 8,000 people directly and about three times as many indirectly. One of these firms is Unibike. Unibike sells all of its conventional pedal bikes, cargo bikes and electrical bikes abroad.
My name is Paula Ramos Lopez. I am the controller here in Unibike.
So for now, there is just grass here. There will be another warehouse that you will be constructing.
A warehouse with 4,000 square meters.
So you're almost doubling the capacity.
Yeah, and maybe it will be too small, yes.
60 kilometers further north, I enter the compound of Polysport and meet the man who 44 years ago created a company for motor and pedal bike accessories.
Pedro Arujo, CEO of Polysport Group.
Polysport now has an annual turnover of 45 million euros. Since the start of the COVID pandemic, geographic and cultural proximity is by some considered even more crucial than costs.
We have more and more clients that used to have very close relations with Asia. These companies from Germany and other European countries now feel it makes sense to move their operations to Portugal.
But although Portugal is leading the peloton regarding bicycle production, it's not when it comes to pedaling itself. Only about 5% of the population rides a bike at least once a week, according to the latest figures from Portugal's statistical institute, INE.
I'm still a bit scared of the car drivers in Lisbon. I think we would need more bicycle lanes and more education to the automobile drivers.
Portugal's Secretary of State for Urban Transport, Jorge Delgado, says the government is trying to address the more fundamental problems with a new 300 million euro scheme called Portugal Ciclável.
Temos que melhorar as nossas infraestruturas.
We need to improve our infrastructure and create more bike lanes, parking space, and foster bike sharing schemes. We should subsidize the acquisition of bicycles. We need to change our habits and our traffic code so that cyclists can feel secure on the roads.
Lisa Lewis there, and maybe some encouragement for cyclists in Portugal too to buy more bikes today, because Lisbon becomes the latest capital city to experiment with a ban on cars in the city centre. The trial is set to last for 3 months, so one will keep watching here on the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks so much for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.